Hi everyone, welcome to Auntie Monkey. I'm Andrew Robertson and this is the 17th episode of the Ballooning Podcast. It's been a little while since I've been able to get behind the mic and interview some guests, and I've been fairly reliant on Adam recently to create a lot of the content because I've been busy at work. However, just recently I returned from the Canoundra International Balloon Challenge, and during that event I had the opportunity to sit down and have a beer with a few different guests, people that I've been wanting to interview for quite a while. And I must say, it was quite refreshing to be able to do the interviews in person rather than having to talk to people over a Skype from countries afar away from Australia. So in today's episode, I actually interviewed a group of people, and that group of people is the Flying Lemmings. The Flying Lemmings are some young Australian balloonists who essentially have created, I guess, a movement of people that have really embraced the fun of ballooning. So you'll hear in the interview today just how they've managed to get a lot of people together, both second generation balloonists and their friends, to really just come to events and go flying and just not take themselves too seriously. And what was exciting about this group is the more we talk to them and the more we have got to know them over the years, a lot of the original Auntie Monkey team from the early and mid-90s can see a lot of ourselves in the Flying Lemmings, because that's essentially where Auntie Monkey came from. It was about bringing the fun back into the sport. So today on the interview, you'll hear that we've had multiple people all trying to share microphones, so hopefully the audio comes through okay. But I was joined by two sets of siblings, Edward and Patterson Saunders, and Mia and Harry Fraser, all the key sort of founders of the Flying Lemmings. And they all live just outside Melbourne in the Yarra Valley, where there's a lot of ballooning that occurs here in Australia. Anyway, I hope you enjoy the interview today with the Flying Lemmings. So welcome everyone. We're here at the Canoundra International Balloon Challenge. It's a very windy afternoon, so they've cancelled the flight. So we decided that it was a good time to sit down and have a chat to the Flying Lemmings. So I'm joined here by four people, and this is going to be quite an experiment because we've never done a live podcast, let alone with four people sitting around microphones. So I might get everyone to introduce themselves, and we can start on my right with Mia.
Hi.
Oh, we can start with Edward on my left.
I'll do a better job here. All right, so I'm Edward Saunders, son of Kif, as most people would know me in the Australian ballooning community. I've been sort of around balloons my whole life, as my old man has been sort of in the ballooning industry for nearly 30 years now, and runs a commercial company down in the Yarra Valley near Melbourne. And so, yeah, I've been born and bred into it. You know, I'm nearly 20 now. I've had my private license for nearly 4 years and been sort of flying for about nearly 5 years now. So yeah, that's my ballooning life. And
How many hours have you got?
I'm around about 160 private hours now. So a long way off old Harry over here, or young Harry over here. But yeah, that's my sort of brief story of ballooning.
Well, this is a good segue to young Harry over here. So Harry.
Yes, g'day. I'm Harry Fraser. Much like Ed, you know, my old man runs a company in the Yarra Valley and, you know, born and bred into ballooning. Got a few more hours than Ed. I've, you know, kind of got 375. So, you know, had the advantage of not going to boarding school. Every weekend was free to clock up the hours and, you know, hoping to eventually in the next year, you know, go commercial and, you know, start earning the big bucks. So that'd be great.
The big bucks.
Wow, okay. Someone's looking forward to disappointment.
Yeah, you're in the wrong industry.
Well,
yeah,
go hopefully.
And Patterson.
My name is Paddo Saunders, and my story is essentially the same as my brother Eddie, except that I'm 2 years older. But I get to fly balloons around a bit, and I've got to go and run around the world and do a couple other balloon jobs here and there as well, which is cool. You get to travel around. It's a bit of a bohemian lifestyle. Other than that, it's the same. 160, 170 hours at the moment. Yeah, what about you, Mia?
Well, I'm Mia Fraser, so I'm Harry's sister, so he's already done half of my introduction as well. Born and bred into ballooning, just like the other three. I got my private license a year ago, just before we came up to Canoundra. So I've got about 50 hours now, and it's my first competition. So it's all happening. It's all pretty exciting, but yeah, loving it up here.
Fantastic. So what I want to talk about today is a couple of things. So firstly, the flying lemmings. I guess we could talk a bit about the origin of where that came from and sort of what your philosophy of the flying lemmings are. A bit of a sort of segue into that is that when we were talking about the flying lemmings with Adam and myself, we're kind of looking at it thinking, well, this is what Arnie Monkey was 25 years ago, was a group of young people who essentially just loved ballooning and were traveling around, going to every event, getting every piece of free propane they could find and just enjoying the sport. So Paddo, maybe you can start just talk about where the lemmings came from and maybe where the name came from.
Yeah, well, to be honest, the original flying lemmings started 25 years ago as well, by my old man, Kiff, and it wasn't quite as big as it is now. It was just three blokes that would go around, and it was just as much about enjoying yourself and having a beer after the flight as it was doing it. But now we've revamped it, and it's just a way to bring a bunch of young'uns into the sport, and to hopefully give a chance for a new generation and a massive amount of people that have had no access to balloons in the past to get involved.
So what's the origin of the name of the lemmings?
Well, good question, because a lemming is just a little rodent. But the whole myth behind them is that lemmings follow each other blindly. And so if one lemming jumps off a cliff, every lemming will follow. And so I guess it's kind of dark in that sense. But that's, I guess, what we do. We all just follow each other blindly into whatever nonsense we find ourselves in, which is kind of a nice philosophy to live by.
So maybe on that, Edward, maybe you can jump in. It's in terms of the size of the lemmings, like what is the group? What's it look like these days? You seem to be multiplying.
Yeah, we're a bit like rabbits these days. But
breeding?
Yeah, breeding. the size of the group now. So we've got, you know, the original members are basically, you know, us that are sort of sitting here right now, Harry, Mia, Paddo, and myself. But we've grown to about sort of, we've nearly got about 20 people here now, you know, crew, pilots, photographers, stuff like that. We're not sort of resigned to only having a certain group of people. We're just hoping that, you know, anyone who's around can join on. Like there's a little sort of fun thing we had the other day where we had about sort of, you know, 30 primary school kids that were around the balloon the other day, and they're just as much flying lemmings as us. You know, we're just trying to sort of bring a name to it and make it a bigger thing. But yeah, there's sort of no number on it, but it, you know, if I could put, yeah, we've got about 20 up here at Canoundra at the moment, so that's sort of where we are at the moment.
That's pretty exciting. I mean, considering I think the lemmings make up about a quarter of the competition field here, it seems to be like you're improving the sport by you guys just showing up in terms of numbers.
Yeah.
So, and Harry, I think you mentioned before you had an astronomical number of hours.
I mean,
you've almost got as many hours, well, you're probably half the number of hours I've got in the last 25 years. How do you get that many hours in just such a short period of time?
Well, because I got my private license at 16, you know, I couldn't crew, so all I could do was fly, and, you know, every opportunity, you know, even a few days before school, I go out and get an hour in, and every weekend.
I'm going to jump in there. It's actually probably during school as well.
I was going to ask that.
Yeah, I don't know Harry's commitment to his education was quite all there while he was smashing his hours out.
Well, that was last year. I, you know, had a couple of weeks off to come up here and, you know.
And Mia, it's your first competition.
Yes, it is.
And we're 3/4 of the way through the week. How are you going and how are you enjoying it?
There's definitely a lot to learn. It's, you think you can prepare for something like this, but you learn a lot when you're out there and you're doing everything by yourself. It's so different to just flying normally. You've got, you know, you want to fly to a pinpoint location. So, you know, it's you're taking a lot in, you're learning a lot, but I'm loving it up there. You know, it can get stressful at times and slightly frustrating, but it's great. And there's so many competitors up here at the moment as well. You know, it's good to see a couple of girls as well. And
well, I was going to actually ask you about that, because, I mean, this year we've got quite a number of girls flying and competing. And Georgia, a part of your team, has just gone solo this week as well. So, I mean, it's great to see there's a lot more girls in the sport. And it's been something that we've been sort of trying to talk about. How do we encourage more girls into the sport and get into it? So have you got any thoughts on what can be done to do that? Or?
Well, it's, I don't know, with the Flying Lemmings, it, you know, comes back to we were looking for crew to start with. I think George Patterson was looking for a crew to come up to Canoundra last year, a navigator actually, and he thought Georgia might fit the bill. You know, she was pretty switched on. You know, could read the rule book, you know, which these three guys, I don't know if they did that.
I will mention that they're now together, so.
It was all just a very, you know, like, strategic, elaborate pickup line.
We've been trying those pickup lines for years. Yeah, I've got a balloon. Do you want to come out for a flight in the morning? Never seemed to work, so.
So Georgia was first exposed to balloons about a year ago, well, exactly a year ago at Canoundra last year. And, you know, here she is a year later. She's on her first solo flight. So she started off as a navigator or a crew, and it was just we were looking for people to get involved. We wanted numbers. We wanted crew, people to help out and get involved and interested in it. And from that, it's just grown. You know, she really wanted to get her license, so she got her student license and she's done her exams. And as you said, she's done her solo, which is fantastic. And, you know, we love getting the girls involved.
And part of that as well is that Eddie, Harry and myself are now certified instructors. And so we do have the ability to, in some capacity, sustain our own growth and help encourage this a step further than just introducing them. We can start to mentor people through, which, to be honest, probably horrifies a lot of people. But
it horrifies me because it sounds like you're creating a cult.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're going for. Yeah, this is a lot more than just a little happy group, you know. But we can, and we have started to instruct people. And, you know, there's probably an element of that that's a lot more accessible for young people, having other young people around that it is possible. And then, you know, we all are chipping in equal amounts to go and have fun. And so you can help it builds energy around it just through having all of this stuff at your disposal.
Well, I guess that's always the, I mean, you guys have obviously been lucky because you got parents that have got gear for you to fly. I mean, I had the same luxury, but I know that's one of the biggest, hardest things, especially for young people to get in the sport, is when getting access to some gear.
Oh, bloody oath. And that's like the, of course, you know, that's the only way that young people can get in. But we're trying to change that now, you know, like we're starting to hopefully get some sponsorships that make us independent of our parents, where we can take our balloons places and get subsidized to go and entertain people and bring joy to communities and punch stuff out on social media. Yeah. And it's just starting now, but there is the potential to make it possible for lots of people that just wouldn't have done it in the first place.
You could take over our podcast for us if you want.
Yeah, that's actually in the woodworks at the moment. Yeah, the Lemming Monkeys.
So, Edward, I believe that there's a bit of action going on in Poland later in the year.
Yeah, so yeah, that's very exciting. So, it's exciting for all of us sitting here, actually, is recently in the last day or two, Mia and has also found out that she'll be joining us. So basically, we've got the Junior World Championships coming up in September this year. So that comes after the Women's Worlds and the World Championships, which you'll be at Robbo, giving us a good shot. So yeah, that's the exciting news. But yeah, so we're also trying to organise that. You know, it's our first international competition, which along with that comes a lot of organising that we've never had to do before. And but we're all super excited. You know, a couple of us been travelling a fair bit over Europe, but never done any flying over there. So we're looking forward to sort of you know, witnessing the different climates and different places to fly. And
you're gonna read the rule book.
Look, the reading the rule book is a chance. So I won't have you flying next to me, Robbo, next year. So I might be able to get away with a few extra things. So I guess reading the rule book is probably a crucial part of the thing. And from knowledge now, that dropping tanks out of the balloon is probably not a great idea. Harry and I have learned from our mistakes, and we'll definitely try to come up with some new rules to break during the World
I think that's actually at its foundation, the Lemmings, it's about trying to break all the rules.
Yeah.
I think we've done a pretty good job with that Canandra rule book over the past 2 years.
Well, I think it's good that you're also carrying your dad's tradition of...
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's right. Yeah, we got to live up to the parents and create a new legacy. But I definitely might be coming up to your house, Robbo, and you can run me through the rules. Well,
I'm sure we'll be sitting on the end of Facebook Messenger, ready to answer questions during briefings.
Exactly right.
We do it all the time for Matscape, so I'm sure we can do it for you. And I guess the other thing I wanted to sort of talk to you guys about is, as we said before, you've come from a commercial background. So is the plan for you guys to get into the commercial side of the world? I mean, you've already hinted at it, Harry, that's where you want to go and make the big bucks in commercial world.
Yeah.
What about the rest of you? Is that your intention?
I think it's definitely the plan. Obviously, it's having been in it our whole life, it's a long time ballooning. Having done it your whole life, if you go straight into commercial, into the commercial fields. Both Harry and I are sitting our exams at the moment, and Pato and Mayor are definitely, I'm sure that they'd say it as well, they're definitely wanting to get it as soon as they can. But it's an area we'd love to get in, and I'm sure everyone would agree that it's a sort of diminishing area in Australia and in the world. There's not too many commercial pilots actually going around anymore, so hopefully this new generation can come through and get their commercial licences and sort of bring that back to life, because I know that around Australia there is a bit of a lack of people going for it, as well as people sort of finishing up at the moment, and as you said, there is that generational gap in between commercial pilots in the moment, and so we've got a few coming through the ranks, but passing the exams is the problem for me.
Yeah, that's what we've found, that we're not the most studious pilots going around at the moment.
Ian Hogren, Alan Shaw, you've got my number. Give me a call whenever you want. I'm needing a bit of help. It's an amazing job. You can travel around the world doing it. Yeah, as you'd all know, you'd speak to all the commercial pilots around here. They've all been traveling around the world, working in Africa, Europe, the UK, America, everywhere. So it's a pretty amazing job to have. Earning the big bucks is probably not the probably not the best field to get into for it, but you can definitely have an amazing experience.
Well, I mean, there's obviously two parts of ballooning, which is commercial and private, and I guess you could say there's a third, which is competition ballooning. And it's kind of, I'm seeing you guys being involved in all aspects, which is pretty exciting, because there are certainly people who will just get their license purely to go to commercial, that's all they want to do, and never show up to an event or a festival, or if they do, it's again just to churn out hours. So I think it's great that you guys are kind of getting involved, as well as got that sort of goal.
Yeah, well, it's just fun. It's a different kind of ballooning. Commercial ballooning is a big part of it, but if you want to go and test yourself and develop your skills as a pilot, then a competition's a great way to go and do that, where you actually do have to go and put some pressure on yourself, and you learn a bit about your flying and about yourself when you're sitting there trying to bomb in on a task from 4,000 feet, or even just...
Which you're hopefully not doing when you're in a commercial flight.
Yes, exactly. You're a bit more limited, But also, you learn so much about managing yourself and your organisation, which is probably a bit lacking within our Lemming organisation at the moment, is that, it's just frantic, which is great. It's organised chaos with all these little angsty teenagers running around, looking for attention, texting on Facebook. But, we're starting to organise ourselves a bit. So you do learn a lot, and I think you do become a better balloon pilot if you start coming to these events and competing.
So how competitive are you amongst yourselves?
Well, never. No, not at all. Not at all.
Not one pit.
Yeah.
Simply
yeah.
Well, Pato and I are very similar, but at the same time, I'm probably 100 times more competitive than Pato. But yeah, my emotions definitely take hold of me a little bit more than most. But yeah, we're all competitive. You know, we all come together and help each other out. But I, you know, as much as we say it, we all love to, you know, get up on each other, you know, and get the most points. But you know, we're here for here for a bit of fun. And as Pato said, you know, the Flying Lemmings is about sort of just having fun and, you know, getting people to the sport. So that's sort of the main part. But you know, when you're missing targets and not having a good day, it's definitely hard to hold that.
Yeah.
And Mia, are you guys all out to beat the boys? Is that the underwritten rule in the girl team?
Oh, absolutely. World domination. That's why I've got... I have a girl team up here. So I've got Julia, Cass and Lauren crewing for me, which is fantastic. I did have a boy who was crewing, but he broke his leg, which is a bit unfortunate. But I took the chance to have an all-girl team.
Classic.
And
typical boys,
right? But it's worked out for the better. I've had a ball there. They've all been incredibly supportive and, you know, massive help. And they've absolutely loved it and really got around into the competition side of things, which none of them have been exposed to before. And, you know, well, I sort of hadn't either. I came up last year, but this is my first competition, so they've been really great.
And your second competition is going to be the Junior Worlds.
Well, it's actually going to be Women's Worlds.
Oh, you're doing Women's Worlds as well.
I'm doing Women's, yep. So I've got Women's in August, and found out a couple of nights ago they'll be going to Juniors as well, so...
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, gosh.
So what does the preparation look like now, between now and then?
That's a really good question. I was thinking about that the other night, but... yeah,
we're all taking Polish lessons, which isn't going well.
But yeah, well, I must say I've never bothered learning any language of any country I've flown.
I'm never learning much at all, really.
Yeah. I think we're still trying to learn English.
So, yeah, it's a real struggle.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's new. It's fun, but discovering it and figuring out is probably just as much as a part of the fun as competing is, you know. And hopefully, given this whole little Lemmings youth philosophy, going to the Junior Worlds, we'll be able to add another, you know, couple hundred people to our cult.
Well, I mean, you'll probably find that you are... The Junior Worlds is anyone up to 27, I think it is. So you guys will probably be the youngest. It's starting to get some old folks competing at the Junior Worlds these days. So.
You know, Lemmings, it's not just young people. You can be young at heart. You know, we've got 45-year-olds. 40. You know, it's not just about kind of angsty millennials.
It's not too late, Robbo.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's not too late. All right. Yeah. Stop. You watch out. We're going to poach your son if you're not careful. Yeah.
I guess the other thing I just wanted to sort of chat to you guys about is sort of a bit about how you see the sports going. It's always something we're fairly conscious of. We talked a bit before about how we can start getting more people into the sport. But in terms of your perspective of, you know, you're relatively new into sort of the pilot world, but do you see that there are issues or things going on in ballooning that you wish were different or done differently?
Well, I think, and we've already touched on this, but it does seem like there's a bit of a generational gap where there is this room to build it within a young kind of, you know, generation, which is great. And that's what we're working on, you know, but it's always changing. And, you know, you can go and see around the world, there's definitely no shortage of balloons and ballooning events and pilots around the world. It would just be about figuring out in the new day and age how to promote it.
Yeah, and make it more accessible.
You know, and so there's so many new ways that you can do that and innovate within it. And ballooning, it's the oldest form of aviation, you know. But, you know, there is all this room to develop it, and it is happening, you know. It's just, you know, we're trying to be a part of it and hopefully try and be at the forefront of it, at least within the Australian field, you know, where it is relatively small compared to other parts of the world.
Now, I want to ask a few personal questions. Not personal, that's the wrong phrasing. Some questions about you individually. So I'm going to start with Edward. What has been the greatest experience you've had in ballooning so far?
Oh God, that's quite a tough question. I've had some pretty incredible experiences in ballooning thus far. Well, you know, it started off, you know, traveling around the world with my family, basically, you know, when I was a lot younger and living in France and flying in some incredible places overseas. You know, a lot of us went over to Qatar and, you know, flew over over Doha and saw some, you know, incredible things. And it's not just the ballooning necessarily with that, but it's just all the culture that you get to see. And, you know, coming up here and doing Canada and all those sorts of things. But, you know, there's nothing better than just flying over a beautiful mountain. And, you know, after the Nationals, you know, last year, Pado and I just did a road trip back from, you know, WA. And flew over some of the most incredible places I've ever seen in my life, you know, over the Stirling Range National Park and in Margaret River. And I think that for me, that's the best thing about ballooning is just the freedom that you get. You know, you're only blow of the wind, you can't control anything. You just, you know, you can only go where you know, God takes you, really. Not that I'm
it's a pretty dark way to look at it. Jeez.
This went from being a cultish thing to a spiritual thing.
Yeah. not that I'm very spiritual, but yeah, just the whole sort of, you know, you float with the wind sort of thing. I love it. It's that sort of, you know, bohemian lifestyle that it sort of brings with it. And, you know, I don't know really what I'm doing every week, to be honest. And every flight's different. And yeah, for me, that's the best bit about ballooning. But yeah, I'm loving this competition and competition stuff and seeing how far we can take that. And yeah, it's really cool just to bring your mates out. And you know, for them, there's not many people that get to experience ballooning. So yeah, it's pretty incredible just to see the smile on their face when they come out. And you know, I love telling them statistics that it's safer than driving a car, which is good. But,
yeah, getting their same old jokes
out. Yeah, that's same old jokes, yeah.
I'll throw the same question to you, Harry. What's been your highlight or best experience so far in your thousands of hours that you've done?
Look, when we went to Qatar, that was pretty amazing. You know, the just flying in a different country and just kind of everything, just, you know, how you had to do things, and, you know, that was quite amazing. But, you know, me and Pado earlier last year, or kind of middle of the year, we did this flight, you know, over the Dandenong Ranges, and, you know, that's just a flight path that just never gets done, and it was just amazing, you know, just flying somewhere that, you know, nobody ever usually flies. You know, it's just flying a new area, I just find it amazing. You know, we've done a few different road trips, like me and Pado also went up to Hay, and, you know, we just, you know, flew, you know, just kind of didn't have anything really planned out too much, but, you know, we landed near the road and it was just...
Well, there's only three roads in Hay, I think, so yeah. It's not a bad effort.
Well, yeah, you know, just kind of, we're just doing these zigzags up and down, you know, the highway, and it was just amazing, you know, and just...
You can make beer noises on the podcast, yeah. It's all okay. Yeah. Wow. It's become an acceptable practice to... You have to open the beer right next to the microphone, it's the rules.
It's like Hank Cooper's
power. And Pado... I believe you've actually been ballooning in the Arctic Circle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell us about that. Well, when you're not working in Antarctica, then you go up to the Arctic Circle.
He's actually never told anyone about it before in his life. No,
yeah. Well, yeah, that was the kind of catalyst for my other career. I go up, and I've done it for the past 3 years, but I go up with a Russian pilot called Viktor, and we fly to Russia and get on a Russian state-owned nuclear icebreaker, and... smash our way to the North Pole. And the whole reason for that is this tourism company. They do polar tourism. And for a bit of a gimmick, they decided that they wanted to fly a hot air balloon at the North Pole. And then it came back to somehow them finding Global Ballooning back in Melbourne to do that. And so my old man did it for a few years, where he went and did the first hot air balloon flight, commercial balloon flight at the North Pole. But these days, after he's been hit by a car, he's banged himself up. He can't work on a nuclear icebreaker anymore. And so he kind of steamrolled me into it. And so I got on the ship and I would just carry boxes everywhere. And then eventually we went to the North Pole, and then we craned our balloon off the side and did some balloon flights. So it's tethered. We've done a small free flight, but yeah, we get to go and do a hot air balloon flight at the North Pole. It's funny where the industry can take you, but it's been lucky enough to take me there.
You don't ask me if if I've done it before, but I'm the middle child, if that explains.
Yeah, I don't figure it's just sort of going unspoken. Have you done it?
No. I'm the middle child. You know, that's how it is. You know, I don't get to do this sort of stuff. I can elaborate on that.
Oh, jeez, here we go. This is going to end in a fist fight, Robbo.
We'd better get the cameras rolling for this. But you'll say that potentially hasn't been the highlight of your ballooning. Did you want to elaborate on what your highlight was?
Oh, yeah. Now, this might be a contentious highlight because I understand a lot of the ballooning industry is aware of the sky whale and the sky whale's presence within Australia, and I've been lucky enough to work with it on a number of occasions. And I ended up flying to Brazil and running a sky whale operation by myself, which was fun. I thought it was going to be fun. But I rocked up in Sao Paulo, which is the biggest city in Brazil. And then I get there and I was 19 years old, and I told the museum, oh, hey, my name's Pato. And they went, oh, Pato. Oh, you're a duck. And in Portuguese, Pato means duck. So instantly no one would take me seriously. And I get there and the balloon I'm flying is a morph between a whale and a turtle. And it's got 10 pendulous breasts that hang off the side of it. And so no one was taking seriously before, and then no one took me seriously after they realised what I was going to do. And so we had to employ like 8 people to be there for the sky whale to go up to help get it, because it's just such an incredible beast. And none of the workers showed up for me. And it was a media release. There was in the middle of the city, we had to put it up for media for the opening of an art gallery, and none of my workers showed up. And so we just ended up employing a bunch of homeless people from the park we were in. And so all these homeless people kind of jumped over the security fence and laughed at the 19-year-old duck boy and the 10-titted sky turtle that's kind of, you know, getting inflated. And then we got it up, and it was the most stressful thing I've ever done in my life. And I had my little interpreter yelling at me, you know, telling me what they're saying. But then we got it up and we got on the front page of a couple of newspapers. And
for,
you know,
all the right reasons or the wrong reasons?
I don't know. I don't speak Portuguese, but it was fun.
Fantastic. So, Mia, can you top that?
Can I top that? God, that's pretty hard to top. I guess it goes a long way back. Dad got a gig flying in Kenya commercially for a couple of months, so we all went over with him. So that was pretty amazing. It was a pretty long time ago, but that was, that was amazing. Out in the Masai Mara, you know, middle of nowhere, kind of safari from the sky type of experience, which was great. But we've got a lot of things, a lot of cards on the table for the Flying Lemmings. We've got a few things that we'd like to tick off in the near future.
Well, it sounds like you're going to be doing a fair few of those this year.
What about the world record attempt with the skydivers? Surely that's going to be, you know.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty cool. That was my dad. That was a dad job. He dropped all the skydivers out of his 400 a few years ago. That was a world record. 22, I think, out of the 400. So that was pretty cool to be a part of that. Obviously, it was still a while ago, but...
Well, yes. We could probably ask you the same question next year when you've just won the Women's Worlds and the Junior Worlds. We can do that.
How about that? I mean, Nicola's got to go back and, you know, defend her spot, which she's going to be pretty hard to beat. But, you know, it'll be pretty cool to go over there with her, the champion on the Australian team. But
fantastic. So have you guys recruited your crews for the Women's Worlds and the... Junior Worlds yet? Or is this how does that work with all so many people in the team?
We have no clue. Now
George, you're just going to get some homeless people over there.
Yeah, I don't know how accessible they are in Poland. It's a bit colder than Brazil. But I don't know, we're busy trying to poach some Polish people, see what we can find, I guess. You know, we're not really sure yet, where it's all kind of new for us.
I couldn't go past the legendary, you know, Dino to come crew for me over at the Junior World, so shout out to Dino, absolute legend. Sorry, Team Scaife, but He knows where the future is.
Well, he's got this team scope's got a few years before Hugh goes to the junior world.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Well, there we go.
We do have a skeleton crew sort of gone in. Dino is part of that skeleton. But, you know, it's...
Are you calling him a skeleton?
That joke went flat.
We all thought of it.
But, Yeah, I guess. It's a good point, Robbo. We should probably figure that out soon.
Oh, well, we're willing to give you some help in terms of advice of how to recruit and some of the logistics you may need to do. So, yeah.
What are you doing in September, Robbo?
Working, unfortunately. Paying off my own debt from going to the Worlds. Great. Well, thank you guys today. That's been fantastic. What we're going to be doing is obviously following your progress. What's the best way for everyone to sort of see what the Lemmings are up to? You mentioned social media.
There's heaps of social media. Instagram, The Flying Lemmings, Facebook. We all punch out a bunch of stuff on our own personal stuff.
Well, it's been great watching all the live videos that have been posted from the ground and the sky this week. So yeah. It's always good to land and then come back and watch your live videos and see how you went so we know how we performed against you, so keep that up.
Yeah.
You may learn at some point that you got to keep a few things secret. Learn from Matt Scaife, who posts videos of all his mistakes and gets penalised.
Yeah.
That'd be my one bit of advice. But great, thank you very much today, guys. It's been fantastic having you on the podcast, and keep doing what you're doing, because I think you're doing a great thing for the sport. And definitely for Ballooning Australia, and hopefully your cult can spread around the world.
That's the plan.
Great.
Cheers, Robbo.
Thank you.
Thanks, Robbo. Okay,
cheers, guys.
Hi, folks. I hope you enjoyed that episode of Auntie Monkey. Just remember, you can follow us in various different ways. So you can go to the auntiemonkey.com website, where you'll find all of the previous episodes, the show notes, and all of the photos that support each of those episodes. You can also follow us on Facebook and on Instagram, so just look for Auntie Monkey and you'll find us there. But you can also financially support us through patreon.com/auntiemonkey. And through Patreon, you can pledge as little as $1 per episode to help financially support the podcast so that we can make sure that we're able to bring out all of the great content that you get to enjoy. You can also subscribe to the podcast through your various podcasting apps, whether it's through iTunes, Stitcher, or even just through Android. So just search for Auntie Monkey through your podcasting technology, and you should be able to find us pretty easily.